Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to continue in our study of 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. If you were with us last time, we concluded chapter 13, and today we are going to be studying chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And here's the hot topic, verse 4, where Paul said to the Corinthians, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Was Paul saying that this was a good thing, or was Paul rebuking them? Again, I'll read what Paul said. Verse 4, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Was Paul promoting that practice, or was Paul rebuking that practice? He was clearly rebuking that. How do we know? Well, before I put the text together, let's kind of just break down this verse for a second. Paul says, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Well, we have already studied in chapter 12 the purpose or reason why all believers have spiritual gifts. Hop over to chapter 12 as a reminder, verse 7. The manifestation to each one, to each believer, is given by the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. Why? For private self-edification? No. For the common good. In other words, we have spiritual gifts sovereignly and freely given to us by the Holy Spirit as He willed. We as believers have spiritual gifts, and we are to use them to edify the body of Christ and all for the glory of Christ. We are not to use them for private self-edification. So back to chapter 14, verse 1, verse 4, when Paul said, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Paul was rebuking that practice. Because again, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify the body of Christ. And again, here in chapter 14, he says this several times. The end of verse 5, part of our text today, he says, "So that the church may receive edifying." Hop over to verse 12. "Seek to abound for the edification of the church." Hop over to the end of verse 26. "Let all things be done for edification." So it is clear that Paul was not promoting, back to verse 4, this idea of a person in the church using their spiritual gift to edify themselves. No. Again, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify the body and to bring glory to Christ. Does that make sense? Also, in verse 4, when Paul said, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself," as we're going to see here in chapter 14, Paul's going to be doing a lot of rebuking when it comes to this idea of tongues. And almost every time Paul uses the word tongue in the singular, glosse in the Greek, he's referring to the counterfeit gift. Ecstatic gibberish. Bata, 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 bata. Nonsensical, ecstatic gibberish, which some of the believers in that church in Corinth brought in from the pagan mystery cults. And so, here in chapter 14, in most occurrences, almost all of them, there are a few exceptions, and the context makes it clear why they are exceptions. In almost every occurrence, when Paul uses the word tongue singular, he's talking about nonsensical, ecstatic gibberish. When Paul uses the word tongues in the plural, glosseos, he's referring to the real, genuine gift that was still in operation back then. The gift whereby a person was able to speak, listen clear, carefully, he was able to speak clear, intelligible foreign languages that were understood. And, as we're going to see as we get later in the chapter, we'll talk about interpretation of tongues as well. But I don't want to confuse that issue right now. So, here in chapter 14, as we now just enter into chapter 14, two main things we have to keep in mind. The purpose of spiritual gifts, whether it was tongues or prophecy or healing, whatever. The purpose of spiritual gifts is for the edification of the body of Christ and all for the glory of Christ. It is never for private self-edification. That's number one thing we have to remember. Number two, whenever Paul uses the word tongue in the singular, think of the counterfeit, ecstatic gibberish. When he uses tongues in the plural, think of the genuine gift that was still in operation back then, the ability to speak in clear, intelligible foreign languages, which they had never studied or practiced before. Okay? Now again, there were going to be just a few occasions where tongue in the singular doesn't mean the ecstatic gibberish, but again, the context will make that abundantly clear as to why. Okay? So, again, verse 4, one who speaks in a tongue, bata, 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 ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish, edifies himself. Put it together now. Was Paul promoting that practice or was he rebuking that practice? It's obvious. He was rebuking it, right? So, with that background in mind, let's go and take a look at our overall text now. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Again, chapter 12, Paul kind of laid out the foundation when it came to spiritual gifts. Who has spiritual gifts? All born-again believers. How do we receive spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit distributes them according to His will. Why do we have spiritual gifts? For the common good, to edify the body. And every gift matters. And therefore, every born-again believer needs to use his or her spiritual gifts to bless the body and to bring glory to Christ. Chapter 12. Paul then went into chapter 13, a chapter that is commonly referred to as Paul's chapter of love, where Paul talked about the permanence of love, the preeminence of love. And Paul also talked about how spiritual gifts, certain spiritual gifts such as the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, were going to cease. Eventually, they were going to run out. The gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, we studied last time, Paul said when the perfect comes, we teach that's the eternal state, well, gift of prophecy and knowledge will stop. But tongues will stop on their own. They'll cease on their own. And as we go through chapter 14, we'll make a case as to why we teach the gift of tongues, the real gift back then, not the gibberish, but the real gift, has already ceased. But again, we'll talk about that as we go through chapter 14. Okay? Well, now, we come into chapter 14, and really, throughout this entire chapter, Paul is rebuking. Well, actually, let's put it this way. He talks about prophecy versus tongues. Prophecy, declaring God's truth, which edifies the body. Tongue, the gibberish, Paul rebukes because it edifies nobody. Tongues, the real gift, edifies, assuming you have an interpreter. Because again, the point of all this is that your spiritual gifts are used to edify the body. So, here in chapter 14, Paul's going to make that very clear. And let's start out in verse 1, where Paul said, pursue love. This is an imperative. It's in the present, meaning pursue and keep pursuing love. And he's talking to the church collectively. Second person plural. He had just finished in chapter 13 talking about the benefits of love. Again, end of verse 13 of chapter 13, the greatest of these is love. Now coming into chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love. As the body of Christ, we pursue love. Love for God and love for the people of God. He also went on to say, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Now, as we studied in chapter 12, we know that we don't ask for, earn, spiritual gifts. They are freely given to us by the Holy Spirit when we are regenerated. And these gifts are given to us according to His will, not ours. So when Paul here says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, again, he's talking to the church collectively. Desire that God in His grace will add to the number there in the church of people being saved and will also perfectly give the proper variety and mixture of gifts in that body so that the body can function and bring glory to Christ. Pursue love collectively as a church. Desire earnestly collectively as a church. The variety of spiritual gifts, teachers, people with mercy, people with gift of administration, helps, and so forth. But especially, end of verse 1, he tells the church collectively that you may prophesy. Pray that God will bring to the church and gift the church with more and more people who can proclaim God's truth. Why? Well, verse 3, one who prophesies speaks to men. That's the purpose of your spiritual gifts. For edification, exhortation, and consolation. Do you see? So I know I'm always praying to the Lord. Please raise up in our church more and more people, men and women, who can declare God's truth. More men who can do it from the pulpit, who can lead small groups. Women who can teach other women and children. We ask the Lord to provide more and more teachers to the body so that God's word is permeating throughout the church, not just from the pulpit, small groups, house to house, youth ministry, children's ministry, women's ministry, because that's how the church is edified. So again, verse 1, collectively as a church, pursue love. Collectively as a church, desire earnestly the variety of spiritual gifts in the body. collectively as a church, especially desire that God will add more teachers of God's word, those who prophesy or proclaim the truth. Why? Verse 2. For one who speaks in a, notice the word, tongue, singular. What's he referring to here? The counterfeit. Gibberish. Ecstatic, nonsensical, bata, bata, bata. One who speaks in bata, bata, bata does not speak to men, but to God. Stop. Is that a good thing? What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? To edify the body. Notice the bata? Paul's rebuking them here for bata, bata, bata. First of all, it's not from God. It comes, again, from the pagan mystery cults. But look what Paul says here. One who speaks bata, bata, bata doesn't speak to men, doesn't edify the body. Therefore, it's useless what bata, bata, bata is, right? One who speaks in a tongue, ecstatic gibberish, does not speak to men. That's a problem. But to God. Well, that's okay, because I'm using my bata, bata, bata for private self-edification, where I'm having this wonderful, intimate relationship with God. No. In the Greek, there's not a definite article before the word God. In other words, definite article, the word the God. You see in the Greek throughout that whenever in the Greek language Scripture is referring to the one true living God, you have the definite article in front of it, emphasizing the God, the only God. Well, it's interesting here in verse 2, you don't have a definite article. And so it could literally be translated in the following way, where Paul is rebuking in verse 2, one who speaks in a tongue, bata, 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 singular. He doesn't speak to men, but rather to a God. And I think the context supports that interpretation, because right after that, the end of verse 2, he says, in his spirit, not the Holy Spirit, in his spirit, this person is bata, 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 he speaks mysteries. No one can understand him. He can't even understand what he's saying. Nobody is being edified. This is stuff that comes from the pagan mystery cults. In those pagan mystery cults back then, and in many today as well, the pagans would take mind-numbing drugs or just drink themselves, you know, to the point where they were just sloshed and drunk. And then they would start to break out in this ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish. The idea was that that somehow drew them closer to their pagan deities. That's what the pagans did, and many still do today. They kind of suspend all rational thinking. They try to empty their minds by taking mind-numbing drugs and getting drunk. The idea back then was that you can then free your spirit to kind of get in this ecstatic, frenzied state where you're not even thinking. You're just breaking out in this chanting, in this ecstatic gibberish, and that draws you closer to your pagan deities. That stuff was coming into the church. And Paul was rebuking that. Verse 2, he says, one who speaks in bata, bata, bata doesn't speak to men for their edification, but to a God of some sort, because no one understands. And in his spirit, he speaks mysteries, pagan mysteries. But verse 3, one who prophesies, declares God's truth, speaks to men. Do you see the difference? Verse 2 is a rebuke. It is not a commendation. Paul is rebuking bata, bata, bata. Number one, he's not speaking to anybody in the body who could understand. Nobody's being edified. I think it could also be translated, he's not even actually speaking to God. He's speaking to a God of some sort, an unknown God. No one understands him. In his own spirit, he's speaking mysteries. But verse 3, you see the contrast? One who prophesies, declares God's truth, speaks to men for edification, for exhortation, for consolation. Do you see the difference? Paul goes on again to the bata, verse 4. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. It's not the purpose of spiritual gifts, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Do you see the contrast here? Paul is rebuking ecstatic gibberish. Paul is endorsing proper proclamation of the word. Ecstatic gibberish? The body's not edified. Proclamation of God's truth? The body is edified. Do you see it? And then he goes on in verse 5. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Here it's in the plural, glosseos. He's referring to the genuine, real gift. He says, it's okay if you have the real gift of tongues. He didn't want them to think that he was just kind of just shutting the door just because he's rebuking the counterfeit. He didn't want them to think that he was shutting the door on the use of the real gift. I wish that you all spoke in tongues, the real gift, intelligible foreign languages. But he said, even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, real gift, unless he interprets. Do you see it? Why? Whether you have the real gift of tongues or you're declaring God's truth, so that the church may receive edifying. That's the point. And so with the real gift of tongues, intelligible foreign languages, the people needed to understand what was being said. And that's why, again, as we go through chapter 14, Paul will talk about the importance of people who have the gift of interpretation. And we'll talk more about that in the next coming weeks. And back to our hot topic in verse 4. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Do you agree? Paul's not promoting this practice, but rather he's rebuking it. And then he goes on to say, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Do you see it? And so, as I conclude, let me show you what the real gift of tongues looked like back then on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And I just want to make sure that we all understand that the real gift had nothing to do with ecstatic, nonsensical, bata gibberish. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. We read that verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues, i.e. intelligible foreign languages, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. We're told in verse 5 that there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the crowd came together. They were bewildered because each one of them was hearing the apostles speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them, the apostles, in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Do you see it? And so, in our study for today in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, when Paul was talking about tongue, the ecstatic gibberish, it's clear he was referring to the counterfeit. Because the genuine gift of tongues, as we see here on the day of Pentecost, exercised by the apostles, that genuine gift, clear, intelligible foreign languages, which were understood as the apostles declared the wonders of God. So this idea of nonsensical, ecstatic, bata gibberish, that is not the original gift of tongues. That is not even a spiritual gift. And again, back to our text of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul rebukes that practice of gibberish. Again, verse 1, pursue love collectively as a church, yet as the church desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially as the church that you may have more and more people prophesy. Why? For one who speaks in a tongue, ecstatic gibberish, does not speak to men, because nobody can understand them, but to a God, an unknown God, for no one understands. But in his spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Verse 3, but one who prophesies, declares God's truth, speaks to men for edification, for exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue, edifies himself. It's not the purpose of spiritual gifts. But one who prophesies, edifies the church. Paul went on to say, now I wish that all of you spoke in tongues, the real gift, as we just saw you exercised by the apostles in Acts 2. But even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, real gift, unless he interprets. Why do you need interpretation, even with the real gift of tongues? So that the church may receive edifying. Do you see it? So our hot topic for today, really not such a hot topic, right? It's pretty clear in the context. Yet, there are so many today in the modern church who will take verse 4 completely out of context and say, well, Paul's endorsing here. Speaking in, you know, gibberish, or they'll call it angelic language, private prayer language. Yeah, where I'm being edified. And Paul's not saying that. He's rebuking it. And next time, we will continue to make our way through chapter 14, and we will continue to see how Paul rebuked the counterfeit use of ecstatic gibberish.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.